This is Sarah Miller from Ink Master Season 2, and I have issues.
And welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian. I love, like, every time I still say that as if, like, as at some point someone else other than me is going to, like, pop and be like, oh, hey, by the way, this is Adrian Has Issues. I'm Bob.
Hey, you never know, man. Stay on your feet.
I don't know. Like, at some point, like, a ninja is going to, like, do, like, a nerd pinch on me and, like, take over the show.
This is Steve.
We have taken over the airwaves. But the other voice you hear is a actor, writer, comedian, and overall just badass person. We were supposed to record ages ago, but I guess thankfully our schedules finally matched up. She actually just released a really awesome YouTube channel, which we will get into soon. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome Maggie May Fish. Maggie, how's it going?
This is Aaron. No kidding.
Oh, God.
Who's that? Hi. Hello. Yes, this is her. This is Maggie. Hi.
Awesome. Yeah, and you're out of... I don't even remember how it was we actually met, because I know... At some point, I think you might have just followed me, I'm not sure through how, and not for nothing, because I know it was like one of those days where I was getting like a lot of random follows, and I'm like, you know what, let me see if this person is, you know, an actual person, because I'm not going to lie, I'm sorry, I feel bad, because I know there's some people who are like Twitter comedians, but they don't really interact.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, oh my crap, she's actually really funny, because I was watching... some of the videos that you had on your website, and I was like, wow, she's actually really cool. I had to have her on the show, so.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah, I do. Yeah, if anyone, you know, follows me, I like talking to people, because, you know, I've been so interesting, and yeah, I'm definitely not standoffish. I'm always on my phone. I'm very rude. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm a very rude person.
No, ask my coworkers. I'm constantly on my phone, too. It's the absolute worst. They're like, oh, you getting any work done today? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I got like 8 retweets on this picture. You
see this? Exactly. I had this really smart tweet about Voldemort, so I don't know, check it out. That's what I did with my time today.
It's like, he should not be retweeted.
Yeah. Oh, that is good. You should hop on that one now.
Oh, great. I have to use it at some point. So now you're out, well, right now you're currently out of LA, correct?
Yes. Yep.
But you, if not remember, you started actually in Chicago.
I did, yes. Yeah. So I grew up in Michigan in a super, super small town. I lived on a farm, basically. And then I went to Northwestern in Chicago, Evanston, for college. And yeah, when I was there, I started doing comedy and sketch and improv at IO and Second City. And then after I graduated, I moved out to L.A., as some people are wont to do when they spend time in the snow for 4 years. Chicago. So.
I was going to say, Chicago has no shortage of snow, I'd imagine.
No, it is fucking awful. but we're much happier now. No seasonal affective disorder, and just the regular kind of depression, not affected by the seasons. So.
Yeah, but it also hasn't like rained there in like God knows how long.
Right. No. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to like, you know, put like, you know, portents of doom on the whole show, but I was just reading. It's like California only has one more year of water left. I'm like, holy shit.
I mean, I saw that too, and you know what? I still take really long showers, so it's
meanwhile,
this is on me. I'll take the hit for the team.
Right. It's like we've actually pinpointed the source of the water drainage, and it's like your Twitter picture. It's like, oh, that's actually me.
Oh, that is that. Yeah. Well, you can't deny it. That is, and I'm not going to stop. So no one try. Oh golly, just taking down the.
So at what point? I guess that's the thing, though, because I know. Small town sort of vibe, and Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily from one, but I kind of know, like, the sort of the scene there. Everybody kind of just sort of lays in the cut. So at what point, I guess, does, you know, Maggie realize, you know what, I'm awesome, I'm really funny, I need to actually start, you know, taking comedy on as a profession?
That is a great question. Yeah, I don't know. I think it comes from the fact, like, I love acting. I studied theater in college, and I love it. That's what I started doing. And then I really like having, like, creative influence. So I love acting. I love playing other people's characters, but I love writing for myself, and I love making my own characters. And so that kind of comes into, like sketch and sketch writing, because you get to, you know, create your own situations, and it's quick writing. It's, you know, 4 to 5 minutes of, you know, you doing characters and situations. And yeah, and I think I started with improv, and I think that was a great introduction to learn how to, you know, to, yeah, be funny. And there's some amazing, like, comedians and improvisers in Chicago that I was always starstruck when I would go to these, like, comedy clubs with all these, like, 40-year-old men who were my heroes. So yeah, I think that started the pipeline of, like, this is something that I want to pursue. I want to be that 40-year-old man, you know, years from now. I want to be him. So we're still working on that.
I was going to say, that's actually pretty possible now, thanks to the wonderful world of science and medicine.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Suddenly my dreams became reality. Stars aligned.
And finally, at the ripe age of 32, she finally became a 4-year-old man.
Regretted it very deeply, but she did it.
But you know what? It's like she was so committed, she couldn't even admit to herself that this was a poor decision.
Yeah. So yeah, and there we were. Here we are. Yeah, I still love acting. I still love doing it. I do plays out here and films. So yeah, it's still a big pursuit of mine, but I do love, like, writing my own material. So
now, you actually do stand up as well, correct?
I do. Yes. Yes. That is, it's newer to me. I'm newer to the stand up portion of comedy, as one could say. But I really enjoy it. I do. It's I view it as more like a like one person show, because it's less scary to me.
Wait, how so?
I don't know. I feel like if I feel like I'm going up there to do, like, a show, it seems a lot easier to me than thinking in my brain, oh shit, like I'm gonna go up and try to make a room full of 500 people laugh. Because I get super sweaty. Stand up is very scary to me. It still is, but I do it for you guys. That's why I do it.
She's like,
I'm a martyr.
I've never actually had any interest in stand up.
Yeah, I fucking hate it, but 20 people asked me to, so I said, God damn, all right. Half of those were my mother, so I said, fine, I'll do it if you ask. No, it's fine. Scary as shit, but
well, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, the one thing about theater is, I mean, the majority of shows, of course, you're working with an ensemble, so you have everybody else, you know, working together to create the show. But
right.
Stand up, from what I imagine, of course, now I haven't done stand up myself, account for my best friend's wedding.
That counts. Speech. That counts. That's step one.
That was scary as shit, though. But I can imagine, but it's like, obviously, with stand up, it's, you're pretty much kind of, not physically, but just naked up there, because you're not really working with anybody else unless you're part of, like, a comedy troupe of some sort, like an actual improv. But
you're just
kind of standing up there telling jokes, which I don't know how much preparation you go into yours. Do you, like, write everything ahead of time, or are you just more sort of free form? Just
I do a little of both. I have my sets all written out and rehearsed. But when I go up there, I try to be really loose, because I don't know, because it feels easier. And yeah, it comes off as a good performance. But yeah, I think that's why I love sketch and improv, and I gravitate towards that naturally, because I don't know, I love, like, the team aspect. I played a lot of sports growing up, so yeah, that sometimes feels, you know, more fun to be up there and create something with a group of people. But yeah, no, stand-up is great too. It's a great way to get your writing out there, as my stand-up friend has said many, many times when I told her, I'm not going to do this show. She's like, no, no, go do it. You'll be fine. She's always right. So, yeah.
So that started even before you actually did. So, okay. So we're going to follow the timeline a little bit. All right. So here you okay. are out of college. Mm-hmm. And you're saying to yourself, yes. I want to do this professionally. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing you take a bus or a plane to LA. So, okay. So where does then the next step go? So you decide, all right, well, I'm going to write, or did you already have a troupe in mind to join?
Yeah, that is great. So yeah, my writing partner and I, we met in college and we went to college together. We did shows at like IO and Second City when we were in Chicago. While we were performing out there, we got booked out here in Los Angeles at the IO out here. So I flew out. I skipped a ton of school to do this. You don't need school, kids. That's a huge goddamn lie. Now I'm paying for it. Okay. Go to college. Don't listen to me. No, so we booked a show out here. So we came out for like a month. We did like a hour long sketch show. And yeah, while I was visiting and staying here, I kind of was like, yeah, I could see myself living out here. And my writing partner, she's from LA. She grew up here. And she was moving after she graduated. And she was a year ahead of me. So she was out here for a year, my whole last year of college while I was still doing stuff in Chicago. So yeah, when I graduated, I decided to head out, and I'm with her now. We do sketches together. We have our next show is going to be at the Comedy Central stage out here in LA.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Yeah, so that's exciting. It's kind of the next thing besides our YouTube page that we're doing. So, yeah.
Which we should probably get into the YouTube page now. I guess. Well, originally as it existed, because I guess, what is it, Snickerdoodle Comedy? Was that the...
Yes, yeah, that was, yeah. We recently changed the name and got, we have a producer who... So we have a new page with her.
However, Snickerdoodle is a really awesome name, though.
Thank you. I agree. Not so much out in LA here, though. They were kind of like, maybe change the name to something. So, yeah, so it's Mags and Meals. Those are our names, Maggie and Amelia. Yeah, and we just launched our new page. We have videos every week. The one that we just started is This Is the News,
which was fucking hysterical.
Oh, thank you. Actually, today we just released the second episode. Oh, you gotta check it out. It's pretty good. If you haven't seen it, it's a short like news segments. Yeah, I guess that's how you describe it.
Yeah, right? it reminded me a lot of a slightly more sardonic version of Weekend Update. If that's even possible.
Yes, yeah. We're able to go there without,
Yeah, because what was the one joke? I think it was Amelia about the whale that attacked the boat.
Oh, yeah. That was the last time we heard from little Lisa again. we get a little darker, I guess.
Which I noticed. It was pretty funny. But there was another video, which, because I know on your website, you had a couple of short films also.
Yes,
what was the one? It was a really funny one. Was it the 90s guy?
Oh, yeah, man, from 1996.
Oh, it was from 1996. It was that specific year.
Oh, yeah, just from the theme song. Yeah, so he was frozen in time, came back to life, and all his pickup lines are like 90s references. So they fall in flat years in these times.
So the actual process in terms of working on sketches... Because this is actually pretty interesting, talking to the few people who do. Is there a particular process, or is it quite literally just, we had this really idea that you just sort of run with?
That is a great question. I feel like sometimes I think it's both. I think some sketches, we'll be talking, that particular 1990 sketch came out of just a rhyme that I thought was funny, which was, a man got frozen in time in 1996, and now he's at a bar trying to pick up chicks. And I just thought that was hilarious. So I wrote a sketch about it with that theme song. And then we made it. That was kind of like a run with it. Like a why not film it? There's no downsides to doing it. Some take a lot longer to kind of develop. I'm trying to think of an example. Like the one that we just put up on our new site called Train, which is a parody of a French New Wave film. That came from we Amelia and I, for some reason, watched like 3 French New Wave films in a row. And it was fucking just awful. And I don't know why we kept doing it, but we did. And afterwards, we were like, what did we just watch?
And so I'm sorry to be the cut off. What exactly constitutes a French New Wave film? And I guess I'm not quite the cinephile, so I'm like...
Oh, no, that is a valid question, because no one should be watching these films. No one should watch them, but there was this film movement in France where it was a bunch of scenes that did not connect. The actors would, like, look into the camera. There's a lot of, like, direct address. They would, like, show, like, the cameras in the shots or, like, the microphones, and it was kind of, like, a nothing like made sense plot wise, and it was supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. Was kind of the underlying. It's supposed to like make you be like, "Ooh, like why is the actor staring at me in this scene?" And they were basically just about nothing. And Jean-Luc Godard was a director in the movement. So okay. Yeah, just kind of filmed a spoof on that. We're taking a really long train ride from Chicago to DC, and
crap, that's
we had some time on our hands, so we like wrote it and planned it. That one was more involved, but yeah.
So the entire time they had no problem with you two like just filming on this train?
Oh yeah, but we definitely did not ask for permission. That was that's been a core standing in our doings. We don't ask. We ask afterwards if that was okay.
So you figured it's like if the cops actually don't shut us down, we're doing okay.
Yeah, exactly. Which it's still to this day. Yeah, every time I put up a YouTube sketch, like if this one is not flagged, then I call it a success. You know, I call this a win.
Well, I was gonna say. I mean, I've seen some of the ones you've done. I mean, it's not like they're overly terrible that you could get flagged for them.
Right. Yeah.
Like I said, the train one maybe, but that almost kind of just speaks to the staff that works, like these conductors that work on the train, because I imagine what Amtrak,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Like, we're so defeated as a company, we don't care what you do on here.
Yeah, we don't give 2 shits.
If it turns out the whole time, like, you guys could have been reenacting, what movie was it, Under Siege 2, when he's on a train?
Great movie reference, man. That is...
So I guess at this point, I don't know, who would be Seagal and who would be Morris Chestnut? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say.
I know I'm asking the hard questions here.
Yeah, these are the hard hitting questions. So true.
So actually, but I also noticed you had done some actual acting work in short films, or just films in general. So how did that come about? Because I know I saw your acting reel, but I know they were obviously from bits and pieces of segments. So how did the actual acting bits get in, or is that just a matter of going out for casting calls?
So I started doing films when I was kind of young, like 16, I guess it's not that young. So I started doing, films, just local films, like in Michigan and in the Midwest and anything I could kind of get my hands on. So I started back then. And then when I moved to Chicago, obviously there were a lot more opportunities. So yeah, I did films through Northwestern, through other colleges in the area. I also, you know, became friends with a lot of comedians who would then, you know, pass me on to directors. So I was lucky, got to do, films with like the cast of Second City at the time, and a couple other really cool projects. So I was really lucky in that regard. And then moving out to LA, it's kind of the same deal. They have a bunch of casting resources. Obviously, you know, getting an agent helps because they're able to do the hunting for you, which saves you so much time. Before like, an actor has an agent, like 50% of their time is spent like on the internet, just looking for auditions, which, you know, that's part of the process.
Start walking into like random doors, like, "Hey, you guys auditioning here?" It's like, "No, I'm using the bathroom." It's like, "Oh, sorry to bother you.
I'm going to try next door." Yeah, exactly. You just, and you move on to the next house, and then eventually you're going to hit Steven Spielberg. No. I've been really lucky in that regard. Got to work on like a lot of cool projects. So, yeah.
So what's as far as Megs and Mules, do you guys plan on actually taking it so far? Like, I mean, is there plans to maybe develop it into, you know, maybe see if it can get picked up for series or doing live shows at this point?
Yeah, that's definitely down the line. Yeah. Our first goal is to get, so out here they have YouTube Space, which is it's a filming location that has tons of equipment that you have access to, which is really great. So first we're working on kind of just building subscribers and a fan base, which we're getting there. It's great. It's definitely a long process. And then we'd have a couple live shows lined up, like at the Comedy Central store, at IO and UCB. So we're going to keep doing that. And then hopefully we're going to get to the point where we release a sketch, a parody song, every month, as well as our weekly, news segments. And then some of our own, I have some of my own videos that I would like to put up as well. But yeah, that's definitely down the road. Hopefully we can get some traction with it and see who likes our stuff. Because people say just write what you like, and we definitely like what we write. So
I don't think there's too many people tackling the French New Wave film movement, so I think you might, and I don't mean this way. Wow, that sounded really much douchey in the
No, not at all. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's like, no, I 100%. Yeah, I feel like we don't really subscribe to what other people like want us to be, I guess. Yeah, we just kind of do what we think is funny, and we love hearing great feedback. I love Twitter because I love hearing, if people dig something, or even if they don't dig something, they're like, "Whoa, that actually wasn't that funny." I'd be like, "All right, cool."
I never really understood that, there's tons of people who, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say tons, because, well, A, it's not actually tons, and B, it's right. I act like I have so many people coming in and out of Twitter, but uh-huh. occasionally, you get some, people, you check out their pages, and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm not a fan of this, mm-hmm. but even if you are, wouldn't it just be easier to just kind of be like, all right, I'll pass this on, to somebody else, or just not bother? I never really saw the point of basically going out of a way to tell somebody that you didn't find their stuff funny. Like, how is that their fault?
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't run into that too much yet. So my ego is still baby soft. Baby, baby soft. So, but I'm sure as we get, because as you get bigger, the more naysayers you'll have as well. So, I'm getting tough. I'm prepared. I'm ready.
Which I guess, depending on who you believe, supposedly you're supposed to have more haters than fans, which I don't know how that works exactly.
Right. I don't know. I'm working to get there, though. I want more.
Well, tell
haters.
You what. What I'll do is I'll just start spamming a page like, your stuff sucks, knowing full well that I.
Jeez. Yeah. We need to get to that point. That is my next personal step. I want the hate.
Let the hate flow through you, young Skywalker.
Yes.
Worst Palpatine voice ever. But speaking of Star Wars, and that's the one great thing about your page is you're obviously a very huge geek.
Oh my god, huge, yes.
So going back even, see, I love all this time travel going on. Let's go back to, of course, mm-hmm. Maggie at age, whatever age she is. Mm-hmm. At what point did you realize, holy crap, I'm into some really nerdy shit?
Shit. What's so funny is, yeah, so actually, I talked to another podcast about this recently. So I grew up with an older brother who I idolize. Like, he's my hero. He's amazing. His uh-huh. name's Tyler. He's like, I know, right? He's the best. And growing up, yeah, I just wanted to be him so hardcore. And he's a huge gamer. We have, all the Nintendo systems from the original system all the way through. If it was bad weather out, which it is half the time in Michigan, we'd be playing video games in the basement or reading comics. And I also grew up in a very small town, so I had very little reference of what was cool and what was not cool. So I didn't even really know that, what I was getting into, wasn't Laguna Beach or the OC.
I would say, I think you did okay, because I watched, more so OC than Laguna Beach, but
oh yeah,
I'm still trying to figure out how that actually happened or why it existed as long as it did.
Right. Then these things, I could spend my time trying to figure it out, but I decided maybe not. Maybe read comic books instead.
So do you actually remember the first comic book you ever read?
I do, yes. My dad, growing up, he loved the X-Men comic books. Like, that was his jam. He loved the X-Men and Iron Man. And I remember him talking about it one time. And I was like, Dad, we don't have any, physical comic books. And he's like, oh, Well, that's super sad. So he went out and bought some X-Men comic books for us because it was around the time that, you know, the films had come out and I had seen them and thought they were, you know, kick-ass and awesome. And yeah, so he went out and got us some reading material. Yeah. So go dad. My dad's also a huge geek, so it kind of just runs through the family, I guess.
No, I know you feel like it's definitely in the DNA at some point. Like there's no denying it after a while.
Right, exactly. It's like, I can only wear dresses for so long before I realize that.
Yeah, because it's like that thing where, you know, obviously your parents introduce you to it because they're mm-hmm. into it, but then it's like, oh, shoot, it's kind of like almost like a religious thing. It's like, well, you kind of have to find it for yourself.
Exactly. It's like they can, you know, spoon feed it to you, but, you know, which Kool-Aid you drink is, it's really up to you at the end of the day.
Well, Tropical Punch here. I don't know about you, but.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I like blueberry. It's hard to find.
What, I've never actually even heard of that. Like, it must really be hard to find. But like, is it wrong if I actually Google that now?
No, please. I think it's limited edition. I think.
Wait, that so it's G-O-O berry?
Blueberry.
Oh, blueberry.
Yeah, it might be so off-brand. That we also shopped at Costco, so maybe that. Maybe it wasn't Kool-Aid that we were drinking.
No, you know what? It's one of the Kool-Aid twists. I think I actually might remember this one.
Oh, well, there we are. Man, now I'm thirsty. Why don't you do some Adrian? Now I'm just thirsty. That's all I want.
I'm sorry. It wasn't my fault. Like, well, actually, it is my fault, but...
It is.
Well, you mentioned Kool-Aid, and I realize I haven't actually had Kool-Aid in, like, almost a decade, I feel.
Oh. That sounds like a party we should throw.
Right? Well, no. I'm sorry. The last time someone threw a Kool-Aid party did not end well, I'm just going to say.
Did not end well. They are dead now.
Can you imagine start throwing flyers around town for a Kool-Aid party? And I wonder how long it would take for the cops to show up.
Yeah. That is not a bad idea.
I was like, note to self, we did get a lot of people coming to the party. The only bad news is they were all armed guards. Like, I don't know. Armed like
The party ended early. It was super lame.
I know, super lame. And then all these FBI agents showed up. I'm like, good God. Like, yeah.
And Carl's dead. Like, what? It's just a bummer. It's just a bummer, Jennifer. Tell me about it.
Oh, God. All these tennis shoes they're wearing.
Yeah.
Oh,
dissolves. Sweep. Edit.
Oh, that's terrible. That's almost as bad as that was a Saturday Night Live back during the Heaven's Gate thing in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. They had, like, all this picture of everybody, like, wearing the tennis shoes, and it was, like a Nike commercial or something.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, man. That's great.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad because, like, as I'm recording this, I forgot to turn my TV off and X-Men 2 was on.
Oh, you should never apologize for X-Men 2 being on. I mean, it wasn't the best of the films, per se, but...
Oh, now this brings up another question. Okay, which one do you think was the best of the series?
That is a great question. I don't know. It has actually been a long time since I've watched the first couple. So I would feel hesitant to pick one. I did really enjoy the most recent, the X-Men. What was that?
Days of Future Past, I think?
Yeah. I enjoyed that one. Surprisingly so. I went on it. I heard good things about it, but I went in like, meh. But no, it turned out, I thought it was pretty good.
I don't know. I'm still having the issue with the concrete prison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, that was definitely. And also, the next one is X-Men Apocalypse. I feel like we're done. I feel like.
We've run out of X-Men?
Yeah, I think we're done for a while. Let's stop. Or at least stop this train that we're going down with all these crossovers and backups and redos and time travels, you know. Let's hold off for a sec.
Yeah, I just feel like I know at the end of the day they're gonna keep making them. But at some point they're talking about they were gonna start doing like X-Force, which I don't know how that's gonna work, but
right. Yeah, and also I think Marvel's like slowly speaking of TV being on, that was my bad. Marvel is slowly getting the rights back. I don't even know if I'm allowed to leak that, but they I have no idea if I'm allowed to at all.
I was going to say, if you know something and you're not telling the world, like, I will gladly leak and throw your name all over this podcast
and say,
I broke the story. Maggie will get it, like, a GoFundMe page to get you out of jail.
Oh, man. I won't even need Kool-Aid for the police to show up at my door. They'll just show up and take me away. But I project that they are in the process of getting the rights back to that. Because they have stopped production on all, like, X-Men toys and stuff.
Really? So,
yes. Very quietly. So I think they're moving.
Well, it must have been quiet because, I mean, not that I'm, like, you know, really into that whole thing, but right. I did not realize that they actually stopped making them.
Yeah, it's, I think in these situations, they hope for a really quick turnaround. So they stopped, and hopefully Marvel will be able to, you know, pick up a projection. This is all just hearsay and guessing.
Well, but, it's actually not too far off because I do know that it was half the reason why the Fantastic Four comic just suddenly ended.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So,
and that whole thing where, like, the X-Men were, like, the Inhumans are going to be, like,
yep,
replacing mm-hmm. the mutants in, like, the new movie, so, or even actually even in the comic, so.
Yeah. It's, they just got the, you know, they just got Spider-Man back, so I think it's only a matter of time before.
And that one's weird because Sony, from what I understand, still has creative control over the character, so it's almost kind of like a dual visitation.
Yeah, exactly. They're you know, divorced parents, and they have they're Peter Parker, their kid, he's sitting there. I do think though that it's so strange. So for Civil War, you know, Spider-Man is going to be. They've announced that he's going to be in it, which is great because he's in it in the comic books and. Correct. But they've decided, because we've seen Spider-Man young so many times, every iteration we've seen him, you know, as a high schooler like Peter Parker. And I thought, you know, this would be a chance to, you know, give us a different version, you know, when he's older or, you know, some sort of different take on it. But no, he's going to be super young in high school yet again. And I don't know. I feel like we've been here before, like deja vu. Like,
we really have. And it's unfortunate because we just saw it as rebooted. But the other issue I'm having is, okay, originally I thought this movie was going to be sort of a continuation on Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be more of Steve Rogers trying to figure out, you know, trying to get Bucky back or what have you. Mm-hmm. But now they're talking, obviously, Robert Downey Jr. is in it, and they're doing the Civil War storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Panther's supposedly showing up.
Yep.
And I guess Spider-Man's in this as well. So mm-hmm. when do we have time to figure out what the hell happened to Bucky?
Yeah, you know what? I do not know. I'm thinking is the next Captain America, is that coming out before Winter Soldier or after?
I don't know. Oh, it's set after, I guess it'll be, hold on, after Ant-Man, I think Captain America is the next movie up.
Okay.
Because I think they're starting filming fairly soon.
Right, because I think that's going to set off Civil War. Yeah, I don't know. Also, there is, again, hearsay talk. Who knows if this is true? I don't know. But they're saying that Spider-Man might make his first appearance at the end of Ant-Man. One, to, like, up ratings, because, you know, it's kind of an out there, you know, superhero to go along with, and they're hoping putting Spider-Man at the end credits will, you know, help draw in attendees, but yeah, that would be cool if we got to see him there the first time to kind of set up the Winter Soldier plotline.
I had this theory, though, that, like, Spider-Man will be in, like, the Marvel movie, and it'll be, like, the first shot of Civil War is Spider-Man mm-hmm. swinging through New York, and the next shot of him is, like, basically getting, like, blown up in a building. It's like, oh, Spider-Man's dead. You gotta register these superheroes somehow.
And it's also surprising. I guess not surprising, but they made him Peter Parker again. Which is, you know, that was another, there was talk about making him Miles or another iteration of Spider-Man.
Yeah, and people got really angry about the whole Miles thing, like almost crazily so.
Right, which is so weird because it was kind of the same thing when you know, Thor, the hammer was going to be taken up, you know, by a lady for a while. People got so up in arms, but I mean, really, if you look at the comics, like that happens all the time. Like a million people have been, you know, in Thor's shoes. So
there's been like 500 Flashes. There have been at least four Batmans.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we can chill out, guys. It's, trust me, it's happened before.
Yeah, it's like a brown Spider-Man's the least of your worries.
Right, exactly. Like let's chill out. It's gonna be okay.
So. Now, I don't know, this is kind of an out there question though, but have you actually had any interest in, like, let's say writing a comic book or any other sort of Yeah. It's like, have you ever thought about actually writing a comic or doing something like in terms of fiction or nonfiction?
Right, that's a great question. Actually, so in college, I was a theater film, and I was a creative writing major too. So yeah, I have like a lot of my own writings and short stories and novellas and stuff. And yeah, I think someday when things get a little less crazy, I would like to, you know, actually like sit down and write something that I would want to, you know, release or publish. But yeah, it's kind of in the future, but definitely sometime. There is a bunch of my friends out here are animators or, you know, have interest in animating. So I love to hear what their life is like, you know, going to all these like amazing meetings with these amazing writers and drawing them up storyboards. So they're like the cool version of me. Like, I wish I could, you know, like just go off and like, you know, draw comic books, man, for like a living.
But I was going to say, it's like, oh, I forgot we're in California. That would explain the accent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my impression of 50% of them. But
that's okay. As someone who lives in New Jersey, it's like, you know what? I can't even imagine what that must sound like on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's no, it's great. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's probably somewhere down the line in the future. I have a friend who's writing a pilot for something along those lines, which is really cool. It's like he's like a stand-up comic superhero. He's like a reluctant superhero who really wants to be like a stand-up comic. That I read the script the other day and it's really good. So yeah, there's stuff like that going around. Yeah, someday in the future.
Oh, we're at this part. See, damn it, stupid X-Men movie.
Ah, why?
No, I just love the idea. Oh, okay, this guy is somehow controlling Xavier. So the best course of action is just make him very cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I need to rewatch the.
You know what? I don't know. I'm actually going to tell you not to because.
Oh no! Yeah,
I tried watching. I say the first X-Men movie, maybe about 2 months ago.
Oh,
it
yeah.
does not hold up.
Really?
It's a little hard to watch.
Oh man. That's how I just rewatched the the original Pokemon movie, and that was also rough going.
Really?
Oh, damn it. Ah! Sorry. Something keeps popping up on my computer. Spam! Spam! I'm being attacked! We're okay. We got through it. We're here now. I rewatched the Pokemon film, and it, no.
Wait, hold on. So now I'm curious, because I remember when that first... Oh, look. First off, I just want you to know, when that movie came out, you best believe that my ass was in that theater on opening night.
Oh shit, was I also. Yeah.
That theater was packed, filled to the brim with small children.
Yeah. I was one of those small childs who was watching it. No, I loved it. It is great. But I feel like there's no actual plot. Like, what happens is... what's so exciting is that we get the past the 150 Pokemon, you know, like that was a 150 Pokemon. That was such a thing. And then when we found out there were two more, holy fuck, Mew and Mewtwo, holy shit. And that's pretty much the entire film is everyone going, oh,
you're
my God.
Right. I remember the commercials like this time there's more than 150. Holy
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. That's the entire plot of it is that there are two more that... It's not in the original counting of the 150 Pokemon that you memorized.
You were lied to.
Yeah, you were lied to. I mean, besides that, and then, like, what, Ash dies and all the Pokemon cry to bring him back to life?
Which, I'm sorry, though, but not that I was happy he was dead. I felt bad for Pikachu, because that was his boy, obviously.
Right.
But I personally was not too upset, because, I mean, that kid has put his Pokemon in harm's way.
Dude, so many Pokemon were better off with Ash being dead.
Like, okay, have you actually sat and rewatched, like, the first Pokemon series?
I have, yeah. It's...
He is not, wow, like, he's really terrible to these Pokemon.
He's terrible. And also, Misty is annoying. Like, just give her back the bike, and let's be done with this, you know? Give her back.
Yeah, that's right. The whole friendship started from Ransom.
Yeah. He steals a bike, which, yeah, I don't, and that spirals into a whole. Yeah, it's very. Yeah, he's awful to his. It's hard to go back.
And Brock is like 50 years old.
I know. What is he doing? Wait, he like left to go like study something, right? If I remember correctly.
Because he was originally was he a breeder or was it after the fact?
I think he was a breeder, right? I don't know. Either way, why was he hanging out with these kids?
I don't know, but I just feel like he's got at least several priors for sexual harassment.
Right. Oh, for sure. And Jesse and James, like, did they have nothing better to do with their time than try? What's so special? Okay, Pikachu's great, but was he really that special? Or they have Meowth. He can say complete sentences like a sentient human being, and they're all like, meh, ah, Pikachu, Pikachu. It's like, you have a pretty incredible Pokemon standing right in front of you making jokes. I don't know. Maybe look to your left and right.
I felt bad, though, because, oh, shoot, what was I going to say? The first movie wasn't that great, but then at some point, it got nuts because I always prided myself on knowing the original 150 by name, knowing all the Poké Rap and all that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But then Gold and Silver came out, and it was like my whole world just kind of collapsed because, like, I know nothing anymore.
I know. That's how I felt as well. And then that's when I did not support, you know, the next generation or so on, however they call it. Because it's already too much for me to memorize, so I can't do a whole nother Poké Rap. I got one down. I can't do another.
However, I don't know if you remember this. I don't know who was it that showed me this. I don't know if it was YouTube or it was like some sort of soundtrack. Mm-hmm. But it was basically like this weird Pokemon musical type thing. And Misty had a song about how in love she was with Ash.
Oh, yes. This is from the CD To Be a Master, which if anyone likes Pokemon music should check out. It came out during when the first movie was released. And it's a great CD. It's amazing. There's one called What Kind of Pokemon Are You? How Do You Do the Things You Do? That's a song. I can sing all of them.
All right, new plan. We need to actually cut an album and start doing all like the Pokemon songs.
Yeah. Oh my god. No, she has a song on there. It's super cheesy and it's super Misty, but it's there.
Meanwhile, Brock has like a cover of Blurred Lines because I feel like that's the thing.
Yeah. That is what he would be into, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But I ended actually recently, I got caught back into the bug because I got a 3DS. I'm like, oh, Pokemon X is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the world's worst relapsing ever.
Because it's so time consuming. That's why I feel like I haven't played like an actual video game all the way through in so long, just because it's like such a commitment. And I feel a little bit guilty about how much time it would take away from everything else, but still do it. So
well, what are you playing now, if anything?
Now nothing. I played The Last of Us, which, yeah. Did you play that game?
No, I think you're probably about the 850th person tell me that. And
I'm surprised it's not more, really.
it's Naughty Dog. I'm a fan of theirs. I finally got around to playing Uncharted, which I loved.
Okay.
But one I watched. Mm-hmm. This wasn't even, the game hadn't even come out yet. So this is like test footage, teaser trailer for The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. Could not sit through it. I was sitting on my phone, like holding it, like breathing heavily. Like I was so tense.
Yeah. Oh God. That's what I'm saying. Like it is it's like emotionally taxing to go into a game like that. So I don't blame you one bit. If you have, like, you know, maybe 3 months of your time to devote to something, like, go ahead. But besides that, oof. It's a lot.
Yeah, because I had games like that, which what was the, like, you know, Majora's Mask, which I'll never finish that game.
Oh, my God. We actually, Amelia and I just recently replayed that. It is a fucking doozy. There's so much. And also, they don't tell you to play the time of song backwards to make it go slower. I just remembered that from childhood. But there's nothing in the game that tells you to do that, by the way.
I only knew that because I guess as a family, because it'd always be me, my sister, my mom playing these games. Mm-hmm. And anytime Nintendo came out with a game, the first thing we had to figure out was, does it come with a player's guide?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Because we're not going to get caught with our pants down and looking stupid at the end of this game.
No, yeah. Player's guides were key. Yeah.
But. So here we are, like, playing that game, and it's like, oh, okay, you can play the song time backwards, and it slows down time. Mm-hmm. I'm still panicking. I'm like, there's no way I could do any of this stuff in this fucking notebook and these fucking masks. And it just, I couldn't do it. And I would have like panic attacks.
Yeah, it's a lot. Especially like when you get, you know, emotionally attached. That whole storyline with the two people that were like going to get married at midnight. And just
gosh, it's so terrible.
Oh, it's so terrible. Just like, I can't let them down. Yeah, it's rough. That's a rough game. Yeah.
But yeah, those are the games I always love, because unfortunately I'm one of those people, like, when I get into something, like, I get into it. I don't know about you.
Oh yeah.
But it's like where it not really necessarily consumes your life negatively, but you know you're not going to do anything but.
Right, exactly. Like, it is all or nothing when it comes to something like that. All or nothing. So yeah, again, that's why I have to be super careful about when I play a new game. It's very strategic when I start up something, because it's gonna consume my life and no one will hear from me.
Well, I feel like you're speaking from experience. Why? What did you get addicted to?
Oh man. Well, there was one. I think it was last summer, yeah, where I replayed where I replayed all the like original Zelda, not the original Zelda, but we replayed Majora's Mask and Wind Waker and Skyward Sword. We played those three.
And I still haven't played Skyward Sword. And as a Zelda fanatic who's actually wearing, oh shit, I am wearing a Zelda shirt right now.
yes.
Nerd. Yeah, Skyward Sword I never actually played, though. I've heard good things.
It is good. It is, yeah, it feels a lot different than the other Zelda games that have come out. It feels even more different than Twilight Princess, which that one I really enjoyed, but
I love that one a lot. Granted, that game stressed me out for completely different reasons.
Oh, really?
It's so fucking depressing, but it's such a great story.
That one was pretty deep. Yeah, I feel like Skyward Sword was, like, lighter than that. It felt more action-y, if that's a possibility. Yeah. I don't know.
There was a lot of action in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I did love that one. But, yeah, I played Skyward. Yeah, did those three. Did not talk to people for a while. But I completed them. So, there she blows.
It's like, you know, she actually was on her way to get the Academy Award for her, you know, breathtaking role and, you know, Maggie May Fish, the movie. And yet, she was home playing Nintendo.
Yes. Hey, you know, to each their own, whatever stressful leave you choose.
No, at this point, video games are almost like a vice. It's like drinking, where it's like, you know what?
Yeah. It's like, oh man, I would hang out tonight, but yeah, I gotta hit the Z. The Zelda? Yeah.
No, that would actually happen, especially when, like, Skyrim came out. I just did not leave my house for a very long time.
Yeah, no. That's, I feel like it's a trap that people fall into. But it's okay. You know, it gets better. As in, more games will come out, and you can always...
I was about to say, like, wait, hold on, time out. Wait, you're meaning to, like, go all public service announcement on me?
Yeah, there will always be the next game that has to happen, so...
Well, see, I just swapped video games for comic books, though.
Okay, well, there you go. Then you're fine.
So are you reading anything currently, or?
No, I haven't read. I just finished reading Civil War, because I wanted to read it before things. Actually, I read it a while back, and then I just recently reread it. So, yeah, that's been the latest thing. Again, it's like, I can't. Well, one, I feel like comic books are super expensive. So I usually borrow instead of buy, just because it can rack up. So yeah, and also it's very time consuming. I did read over the summer. I read everything of Deadpool's that I could get my hands on. So that was, I love Deadpool. He's one of my favorite. Him and Spider-Man, I think, are my top two. But yeah, so that was my last comic venture. What about you? What are you reading? I should pick up some tips. What are you into?
Oof. I just recently, well, I'm still reading Ms. Marvel, which, mm-hmm. oh God, that book is amazing.
Okay. Oh, it's, man, that's what I should read next, honestly. That's what I'm writing it down.
And it's only like about, I want to say, what, 15 issues, if that? Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah. I mean, I know their trade paperback of the first set of books is out.
Right.
That's really good. Black Widow is pretty fantastic also. Mm-hmm. I've noticed lately, though, a lot of the single, like a lot of the solo titles, because I don't know, I'm a Marvel guy by trade.
Right.
So I couldn't really recommend too much in terms of DC.
Yeah.
But those two are pretty good. Hawkeye's run, while very inconsistent near the end, because it'd be like months on end before another issue would come out, that's really good too.
Mm-hmm.
And because Hawkeye was great because, you know, in the whole book, it's like, okay, yeah, he is an Avenger, but mm-hmm. he's living in his crappy apartment in the city, and he's constantly being, like, roughed up by, like, Russian mobsters, so.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, that's, I haven't read a lot of Hawkeye. I did have so do you read comic books, like, on your phone, or do you read it, like, in, like, a paper version?
I usually read, like, paper comics, okay, but yeah. Lately I've noticed, well, A, it's super expensive, and B, I'm mm-hmm. running out of space.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to read digitally, but I don't really have a tablet, so I just read them on my laptop, which, right. looking at it around, trying to read, like, a stack of comics, like, well, digitally, it's just kind of like, wow, I'm that guy.
Dude, you're that guy.
Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, you ever go to, like, a park, and mm-hmm. there's, like, there was, like, that one guy wearing, like, a straw hat. He's got, like, the portable, like, TV player thing. Yeah, I'm that guy with the laptop reading comics.
Yeah, no, I recently got into, yeah, digital copies. Yeah, just because, yeah, they're less expensive, and I don't know, I super dig the way it, like, moves from panel to panel, at least on, I have, like, the Marvel app where I get my comic books downloaded to. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's. Oh, I was gonna say yeah. I got a Hawkeye issue on there that I dug. So
which sucks because mm-hmm. I think about 1 or 2 weeks ago, Comixology had this huge sale on like the first 10, 11 issues of Hawkeye.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're going for like 99 cents each.
Man, why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
I don't. Did I wait? Did I know you then? Or I might have. I think I don't know if we talked that much. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Come on, bro. Keep me updated, bro. Get to me the comic book stuff.
Man, look at you. California's changed you. You used to be all cool. Yeah, and
you change, bruh. You change.
So was that interview you? The show became how I'm a junkie, like we're a video game junkie, and I'm also a sellout.
Yeah, so, yeah. This is what we've learned about you today in this podcast. Fooled you.
This is the interview. It's secretly an intervention.
Yeah. Whoop. Hey, this is Adrian coming on to. You've changed, man.
Which I didn't realize, and I feel like you best me in this though. But going back to your This Is the News segments. That's kind of what won me over, the Dragon Ball Z bit.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
shit! I was crying laughing.
Oh my god, thank you so much. Yeah, that came from the heart. I'm so excited for that film.
But I haven't watched like anything Dragon Ball Z related since. I don't even know what the timeline is now.
Right.
Because it was Dragon Ball, then Dragon Ball Z, then GT, is that correct?
Yes, yeah. I did not watch any of GT. I refused. Yeah.
So what was, you're not actually not the only person to say, a lot of the purists I've noticed mm-hmm. seem to hate GT. Why is that?
I don't know. I did watch, like, I think I watched a season of it, and just something about it just felt like, I felt like then it, like, knew who its audience was and was kind of, like, catering to it. I don't know. It just felt super weird. I'd just rather rewatch Frieza and Cell over and over again than
the move Frieza on. Fight was pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And also, yeah, it kind of lost. Boo was just so strange. That was such a strange chapter segment. And I think after that, I was just kind of like, all right, I'm gonna take a break from this for a while. Now, if you watch it, like, they still air episodes on, like, on, like, Saturday morning cartoon, like, sections. But they have something called Dragon Ball Z Kai, which is, like the American edited version. So, you know, we don't get Goku making a spear bomb for 5 episodes. It's, like, it's edited.
Oh, so they cut out all, like, the extra filler?
Yeah. So instead of it being, like, direct to, you know, America, they kind of, like, recut it, which it's so much more watchable. But, again, it's like, man, like, kids, if you're going to watch it, like, let's watch the real thing, you know? Don't.
Yeah, because that was kind of the fun. It was also kind of the joke because it'd be like on the next Dragon Ball Z, it'd be like all this footage of this crazy, insane fight. And you're saying to yourself, "Holy shit, I need to watch this." So the next day you watch it, and it's okay. We're floating again.
Right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
We're talking about how powerful we are, and no one throws a punch. And then the minute someone like charges up on the next Dragon Ball Z, like, wait, hold on, time out, come back, leave.
Yeah, that's. I know, exactly. So they don't have that experience. They got it spoon-fed to them.
So this new movie, what is it, just what, Frieza's been resurrected, or has she just been around all this time? Or he, rather?
Resurrected. I read the synopsis, but I can't recall. Yeah, there's, like, two new characters who, like, collect, like, the body parts of Frieza and, resurrect. So, yeah. I know. I'm super excited. I'm really excited to see it.
Because I know they're also doing that in theaters. I'm like, so are you, I guess, can we count you for being there, like, opening night?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, 100%. I will be there, and I'll have some opinions about it and release a little video. So, yeah,
oh, I'm definitely.
Stoked. Yeah, I am stoked.
Yeah, I signed up for that Ultimate Marvel Marathon thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how I'm gonna do this.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, so wait, what is that again?
It's a couple of theaters, and they're playing all 11 like Avengers movies.
In a row.
Like, and I guess the order of when they were released, because I'm not sure if they're doing it chronologically, because I know some of them happened before.
Right.
Other ones, but it's pretty much over 24 hours straight of continuous Marvel movies.
Right, which is like a little bit, a lot, but like, that's kind of what I do every weekend, so maybe.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I can actually, but granted, usually then I'm like, you know, at home in like pajamas, and usually I could pause things and
right
play on Twitter for a while.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to bring like a whole bunch of batteries and hope they don't die and live tweet the whole thing.
That would actually be great if you live tweeted it. That would be worth it.
You know what I was gonna say? I don't know if they're gonna plan on kicking anybody out for being on their phones. Like, I'll just turn a light down. But I'm like,
hey.
I can't imagine anybody would do this who hasn't seen these movies already.
Yeah, that's true. People are, and if you haven't, this may not be the best way to watch all of them.
Well, matter of fact, my cousin and I, we actually did the last one, the first Avengers came out.
Uh-huh.
They did a marathon of all the movies leading up to that. And I think it was only like 5 movies at the time of
that.
And the guy behind us, because everybody in the theater is like quoting a movie, they're cheering when certain characters show up.
Right.
It's like a whole big fan event. We get stuck, because the guy behind us, I guess, had not seen these movies at all. And he used this as the platform to see everything. And I'm like, wow, guy, you suck.
Yeah.
Because all he did was complain that everybody was talking to the movie.
It's like, okay, how about you join the crowd? Join the people of the earth and watch these films. Because everybody else has.
Like, it was so bad where, because after halfway through... I think it was Thor. The air conditioner in the theater broke.
Oh, God.
That got really warm in there.
Yeah.
And this guy, to keep seeing the movie in complete silence, stayed in the theater with the broken air conditioner, as opposed to moving along to the air conditioner one across the hall with everybody else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof. What kind of a life is that? I don't even know. I don't know if I want to know.
No life at all.
Oh, God.
So, actually, something I was thinking of when watching, like, the new segment,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's one of those things that, because obviously it looks like your plate's pretty full as it is.
Uh-huh.
You and Amelia, I think you guys would totally rock if you guys did a podcast.
Yeah, we are going to do one.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. It's kind of still in the works, but it's going to be called Drunk on the Couch, and... We are drunk on the couch with a guest every week, and we like watch an episode of something or part of a movie. And that's kind of in the works. Yeah, we haven't took the dive yet, but that's part of the plan for the page. So yeah, if you want to be a guest, just let us know. We'd love to have
definitely.
You.
Definitely, I'm totally up for it. Because I can't shut up for the life of me. And...
Well, good. We don't want you to. Don't shut up.
She's like, don't shut up ever. Oh, it's like, there you go. It's like, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do, donkey. That's what that is.
It's like, so, Maggie, what's next? I was going to pull like a late night talk show guy. It's like, oh, so what's next? Where do you see yourself in the next couple of years?
Yeah. Oof. Is that, should I answer that question, talk show?
I don't know. I was going to say, it depends on how dark it gets.
That's true. I was going to say, hopefully alive. Hopefully alive. Hopefully I've called my mother that week.
Aw.
This whole week she's like, call me. I haven't talked to you forever.
I'm not too busy acting, or in my case, podcasting. So,
right. Sorry, Mama. But yeah, no, yeah. Hopefully, yeah, we love. I don't know. I love what I'm doing now, but I'd love to see it, you know, obviously continue with hopefully getting, you know, getting a YouTube page like super on track and releasing tons of sketches that, you know, people like. Keep doing like the new stuff. Keep doing live shows. Keep working on stand up. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, being on, you know, being in, I, you know, for me, it's like, I, you know, would love to act in TV or, and, or write. So, like, either of those, I feel like, would be a huge, you know, success down the road. But that's, that I'm still, you know, I'm still shopping at Ralph's, which is the Walmart of food out here, so.
Oh, I've never even heard of it. I was like, shopping at Ralph's? You mean, yeah, like, just out of some guy's car? Like, what?
Yeah. Ralph's down the street. He also gives me a weed, so. It's a win-win-win situation. No, but yeah, definitely in the future, I, you know, that's what I would like to see.
Maggie, thank you so much for the blast talk to you. But I feel like we barely even got into half the stuff we want to talk about.
That's fine. I feel like, you know, I feel... People, like, you know, they'll enjoy it. Give the people what they want, you know. I'm out in Hollywood selling my soul every day. Just give them what they want.
Like, I've sacrificed 5 goals yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. No, yeah. But, yeah, if they, you know, yeah, I don't know if there's anything that you want to, you know, add at the end. I guess, yeah, you can follow, if you want to, like, keep up with stuff, you can follow me on Twitter, and our YouTube page, Mags and Meals. Yeah, I don't know if there's
any... Actually, what is the Twitter handle?
Yeah, so the handle is youtube.com/c/TG Mags, M-A-G-Z, Meals, M-E-E-L-Z. So, yeah, type it in, subscribe, check us out. Yeah, we'll be releasing stuff every week, so.
Cool. I can't wait. Well, obviously can't wait to check that stuff out. And with any luck, at some point we'll have to have you back on.
Yeah, I would love to. Anytime. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? I was going to say, I don't know if it's possible. Bring Amelia back on. Bring both of you guys
on. Dude, we would love to do that. Yeah, that would be so fun. Absolutely, we'll do that.
Or 9 out of 10 times, I don't know, I was going to say, if you could do like a trial run of your show, because 9 out of 10 times I'll probably be hammered, depending on when I do the show. So.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Yeah, either way, either we'll have you on first, or you'll have us on first. It'll be a contest. Who can get the other person on first?
Or make it totally comic book, have it like a crossover. It's like halfway through the episode, it just cuts off. Like, oh, part two's on Adrian Has Issues. Like, yeah. No, damn it.
We're sober and talking about comic books.
I don't know how we sobered up in like 5 minutes of recording, but that's okay.
A lot of push-ups. I hear that's
is that what it is?
Probably not true. I feel like that.
I was going to say, because I can't do a push-up, so that's probably why my liver is like pickled at this point.
You know.
I was going to say, Xenon or Pokemon, all right? And I think somehow drinking is far more productive.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean,
meanwhile, like, my liver is like, what? His liver's evolving.
Yeah. It is no longer a liver. It is just a keg.
Or it turns out it evolves and it's like just kind of corroded. It's like, oh, yeah. His liver turned into cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis with the power of attack body with cancer.
Or actually what he should do is just like start like reviewing the Pokemon movies and just having you on, like breaking them down.
Yeah, super effective.
All right. That is awesome. Maggie, thank you so much. It's been a blast.
Thank you. It's been great.
And that'll do it for Agent Has Issues. We'll see you next issue.